10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road on vacation. He'll be back on Monday, so looking forward to having Joe back in from his hiatus here on the program. Taking your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Adam, we just talked about DeAndre Hopkins and when a decision might be coming for DeAndre Hopkins. And, by the way, Travis on the text line asked if I'm on Threads yet. I'm not. Have not made the switch to Threads yet. So
I took the – although apparently
a lot of people are.
I took the dive last night.
Did you?
I created the Threads account.
So you did not be motivated at all by my "we have too much social media" speech yesterday?
Who knows if I'll ever use it, but it's there.
Okay.
It might just sit dormant, but it's there. I'm not convinced that people are going to – I'm just not convinced there's going to be a mass migration.
Well, I've read that there's already been 30 million downloads of Threads.
Apparently it is – you know, apparently the downloads, as you said, are off the charts, but – I'll believe it when I see it, when Twitter is a ghost town. But I just don't see it yet. I just don't see it yet.
So, wait, what you're saying is maybe Mastodon can make a comeback,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Mastodon.
I'd never even heard of that until yesterday.
Yeah. There's too many Twitter-adjacent things that people claim they're going to use that I don't think ever get used.
Well, somebody who is using Threads is DeAndre Hopkins. And he was on Threads yesterday, and I guess threaded, what's the term? I'm used to saying tweeted, but we'll just go threaded. Quote, "I'll retire from football when I'm not a 1,000-yard receiver. That said, I was on track for 1,400 yards last year. I've only had one major injury in 11 years. I could be playing until I'm 37 the way that I feel." This is what DeAndre Hopkins had to say on Threads yesterday. Now, Adam, we actually talked about this a little bit on Jared versus Joe yesterday and kind of like reading between the lines of what that means. Obviously, you're in the middle of the offseason. If you're the NFL, you're a few weeks out from training camp beginning, and this is kind of a dead period of the year, especially with coaching staffs and front offices and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of people are on vacation this time of year and kind of getting that last breather in before the season begins coming up here in just a few weeks. But what did you make of that thread from DeAndre Hopkins? Does it signal anxiety to you that no deals happen yet? Do you think he's trying to get more interest in himself, drum up more interest from other teams out there? What did you make of what DeAndre Hopkins had to say on his Threads account yesterday?
First of all, I didn't realize it was on Threads because
yes.
I saw it shared on Twitter. And I thought, okay, he tweeted about it. That makes sense. And it was sort of the same thing I was talking about yesterday with TikTok. Like, I have a TikTok account, but I've never posted on it, and I very rarely look at it, because most of the TikToks that people want to see are ultimately shared on Twitter. So I was surprised when I heard it was a thread, not a tweet from DeAndre Hopkins. But he's right. He was very productive in the time that he was on the field last season. Of course, he was suspended to start the season. He sat out the last couple of games. But he started 9 games last year. Averaged 11.2 yards per reception. His career average is 13.2, so not far off of that. I still think he can be an incredibly productive receiver. And some of it may have to do with the fact, as you said, Robbie, that he remains unsigned. So perhaps he's trying to continue to drum up that interest. You know, the Titans are, you know, are front of mind for a lot of people because it was one of his two visits, the Patriots being the other. But I feel like lately we've been hearing more about the Titans than the Patriots. And we talked about this when the news of the visit first came out. If he's simply picking between those two franchises, I don't see a benefit of him signing with the Patriots. at least with the Titans, you may not win the Super Bowl, but you'll challenge for the division.
You're not winning the Super Bowl in New England either.
Right, but at least in Tennessee, you have the ability to make the playoffs because you play in a weak division. With DeAndre Hopkins in the fold, the Titans, I would assume, would at least become co-favorites with the Jaguars versus being clearly behind the Jaguars in the minds of many. And you'll probably make the playoffs if you win the division. I mean, you will make the playoffs if you win the division, but you'll have a chance to win the division and make the playoffs. In the AFC East, the Patriots have no chance, even with DeAndre Hopkins. They're not better than the Bills. They're not better than the Dolphins, and they're probably not better than the Jets. So I still think that Hopkins has a lot in him and would be a huge help to whichever team acquires him. So, yeah, I had no problem with what he said. Tell me when he's telling lies, because I'm not sure I see any in there.
Well, I'm not either. Now, the one thing I'll say is, yes, he was on pace for 1,400 yards, but he did get hurt. And the question I have with him moving forward is he gonna be healthy enough to be as productive as he thinks he still can be? Like, he's 31, so it's not like he's ancient by any stretch of the imagination. But is he going to be available enough to drum up the type of production that he still thinks he has left in the tank? I mean, that's really the question. I mean, you watch him play, and, you know, I watched some clips from him from last year. He's never been a burner. We've talked about that. Like, DeAndre Hopkins has never been the player that, you know, like he's Tyreek Hill out there or anything, just running past everybody. I mean, he's got speed to him, but he's got an incredible catch radius. He's an incredible route runner, and pretty much any ball you throw in his direction, he has a history of coming down with. That's what's made him a great player over the course of his career. So, like, none of those things I don't think are going to change. Like, I would imagine he could still run routes really well. I would imagine the catch radius is still pretty good. I would imagine the hands are still pretty good on DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't worry about any of that. The one thing I worry about with him is, at 31 years old, is the availability that really hasn't been an issue for most of his career. Is that now going to be an issue that he's on the other side of 30? And he was popped for a PED suspension, and he did have an injury the last time that we saw him. Like, all these things are what make me question him moving forward. And I think all of those things are also why there's not a ton of interest on him out there right now. Now, the other part of that is, I do think that a lot of people keep just, like, waiting for interest to just manufacture itself on DeAndre Hopkins. And we do see that happen from time to time when a player is just kind of hanging back and waiting around either for something to happen around the league or for deadlines to approach, which maybe force teams to reconsider some options. And as Jared pointed out yesterday, we're getting close to one of those deadlines, which is training camp beginning. Maybe sometimes you take a look and say, you know what? We'd really like to have DeAndre Hopkins, and we'd like to have him in for training camp. Maybe we'll reconsider our position on him. Maybe that could happen with somebody else. But right now, to me, Adam, like, I don't know how much interest is going to be out there, especially in the range of money that he's looking for, outside of the Titans and the Patriots right now. I mean, we've talked to Charles Robinson about this for weeks, and I just don't know that it's going to magically happen for DeAndre Hopkins at that point. So, to me, one of two things are either going to have to happen. He's going to have to negotiate with the Titans and the Patriots, and maybe he can get a little bit more money than whatever it is that they've offered by the time training camp rolls around. Or he's going to have to adjust his position on the contract, be willing to take a little bit less, and maybe that opens the door for more interest around the league if he's not asking for as much money. But I just don't know that I see him doing that at this point.
I'm just wondering how much he should be worth to the Titans. Now, let's bring this back to the Predators free agency conversation, specifically with Luke Shen and Ryan O'Reilly. The Predators overpaid for both. And with O'Reilly, they probably gave him an extra year longer than they should have. Shen's contract, I think you could argue, and I have, that it's both too long and too rich. But those players were clearly important enough to Barry Trotz that he was going to give them a little bit more money or a few more years than he probably should have to get them in the fold. When you look at the Titans wide receiver group, we mentioned Treylon Burks, who was my long-term called shot last segment, But after that, it's very, very thin.
It is.
If you are the Titans, how much are you willing to overpay for DeAndre Hopkins so that your receiving group has a little bit more name recognition and can actually be a threat to other teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question, and I think what adds to that is right now, based on the way their contract situation looks like, they're going to have a lot of money coming open next year. First off, the cap's going to go up again, but they're going to have a lot of money coming open next year when, you know, Tannehill's off the books, if you don't bring him back, which I don't think they will. You know, Derrick Henry could be off the books. I don't know about Kevin Byard. We'll see what happens with Byard and what they decide to do there. But, I mean, they could have a lot of money coming off the books next year. So, I mean, to me, that kind of would make me more willing to spend more money on DeAndre Hopkins just because this, in some ways, kind of feels like the last go-for-it year because a retooling or a rebuilding of the roster to some degree is coming. I mean, Derrick Henry, whether it's this year, next year, whenever it is, he doesn't have that long left, that much time left here in Nashville being the player that he is. I think this is going to be Ryan Tannehill's last season with the Titans. So why not, if you're going to approach it that way, I don't know why you wouldn't try to maximize that if you're the Titans, which number one is why I think they're interested in DeAndre Hopkins. And number two, if I'm in charge, would probably make me willing to go up a little bit higher than maybe other people would.
What do you think fair value is for DeAndre Hopkins right now as a receiver?
Well, it's interesting because, like, if you told me that he was going to play 14 games for you, which is not every game, but it's a good amount. I mean, I'm looking around the league, like Alan Lazard's making $11 million this year. Are you telling me that, look, I like Alan Lazard. I've watched Alan Lazard play a lot of football. He ain't DeAndre Hopkins. So, like, I understand from Hopkins' point of view, you know, Charles Robinson has told us that the Odell Beckham contract is the starting point, right? Which is $15 million with incentives, I think, to get it up to 18. You know, I could see where DeAndre Hopkins could say that he is worth that. I don't know that I would go quite there, but I would probably, if I'm the Titans and I felt like I had to get it done, I'd be comfortable going up to 12, 13, maybe with some incentives to get it to 15 or 16. That's probably the ballpark that I would be in.
And I think, and I don't have the, I know this is a touchy subject sometimes on this station, I don't have the Titans salary cap in front of me, but I mean, to me, with where the Titans are, to your point, this is perhaps their last hurrah with this particular core group of players. If they want to attempt to maximize that, it makes sense to bring DeAndre Hopkins in. And if they have the funds, they should probably give him a little bit more than they would be comfortable giving him if they are serious about trying to contend with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard for perhaps one last time. I think it's worth it just because DeAndre Hopkins has shown when healthy, over the past 2 years, he has not been as available as he was early in his career where he was an every game player, can still be a really good player. Because as you said, he's not a speed guy. And if he were a speed guy, maybe like Julio Jones was, and he was deteriorating, I would be a lot less, you know, confident of that. But his skills seem to have remained steady enough that you can still pay him and he can be productive at an older rate.
And if he's a 1,400-yard receiver, like he still apparently believes that he is, $12 to $15 million is well worth that.
Worth it.
Now, your job as the Titans is to determine whether or not you believe he still is that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans. We'll look at the Super Bowl contenders in the AFC and the NFC. How far away are the Titans from being in that conversation? Would a DeAndre Hopkins change that conversation? We'll get into all that coming up next. Mark, hang with us. We'll get to you on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria. Calabria has been a Mount Juliet staple for 7 years. They've added a brand new Goodlettsville location at 401 Long Hollow Pike. Their brick oven pizza is cooked to perfection, and right now you can get half off a $20 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. while supplies last. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie? Made it out here to Kansas City out here on 24 this morning, man. Y'all doing okay?
Doing good, brother.
What's up, Adam?
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Hey, I got a couple of things to talk about real quick with you, Robbie. First of all, big-time win yesterday.
Thank you.
You listen, Robbie. See? Yeah, you listen. You attacked. You told Steelman from the get-go he was scared of you. Big time. You put the intimidation factor in his head already.
Really set the tone yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you set the tone. Robbie, I knew when he tried to argue with you and you wasn't having it, I said, Robbie's got this in the bag. And you did. That's right.
Thanks.
So, Adam, you know, I need to get some credit, man. I need to get some shout-out, some credit. Man, y'all need to find a place for Mark. Hey, you and Joe, if Joe would listen to what I was telling him, you know, sometimes Joe gets aggressive. He comes in there with that mood. Joe wins. But Joe kind of lets Steelman off the hook a little bit too much sometimes.
He does.
So, yeah, so big-time win. My second thing is, Adam, I'm going to have to defend you this morning, man. JD that texted you yesterday, I don't know where he got that. You don't know what you're talking about, man, because the Adam Vinion I listen to knows his stuff. He's big time. He knows his stuff. So, JD, eat your bowl of cereal, drink you some orange juice. You may need to rethink what you just said, because that just didn't sound right, man.
Mark, you're always the best, man.
But I wanted to say this, though, Robbie. You were talking about D-Hop.
Yep.
I mean, you gave Julio $15 million. You also gave up draft picks. I think the 12 to 13 range, if he comes there with some incentives, would be okay for him. But I still, Robbie, I still have this feeling that he's holding and waiting to see maybe if Chris Jones gets signed with Kansas City, maybe they might have some money. I don't really think that he really won't. He would have signed, I think, by now if he really wanted to play for the Titans. The Titans are a middle-of-the-road team. You don't know if they're going to be good. You don't know if they're going to be bad. I don't even think they're going to win the division this year. I think Jacksonville will win that division by at least two games, and the two games being they'll sweep the Titans this year. But I don't know. D-Hop, he's really kind of lingering out there right now. You don't really know which way he's going to go. Maybe he'll sign. Maybe he won't, but that's all I got to say, fellas. Y'all have a good weekend. I'm going to get on out here to Kansas City.
Mark, have a good weekend, buddy. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, Adam.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark in Nashville, one of our favorites here on the program. Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting point he brings up about D-Hop. Now, I don't know that I necessarily agree that if he was going to sign by the Titans, he would have done it by now. Look, I don't think it does Hopkins, really, or the Titans any harm in him waiting right now. I mean, you want to maximize the market if you're DeAndre Hopkins. He's not missing out on anything if you're the Titans' point of view right now. So I don't think it hurts them for him to wait. And then there's the other part of this, and this is the part that has been kind of interesting to think about too when it comes to Vrabel and D-Hop. I mean, there's this thought out there that, you know, Hopkins maybe doesn't like to practice all that much. And look, it's no secret that, especially as you're a veteran in the league and you've been around for a while, I don't imagine training camp is overly fun for these guys. So there's also a thought out there that maybe Hopkins is going to wait a week or two into training camp before he makes his decision, so he doesn't have to be out there at training camp for an extended period of time. I don't know if I believe that or not, but I certainly know that a lot of veteran players aren't the biggest fans of training camp, for sure.
You're telling me that a player wouldn't want to sign up for training camp in Nashville in late July?
Say what?
With this beautiful weather that we've been having lately?
I mean, it's right up my alley, but I could see where people probably wouldn't like it.
Because you're a weirdo when it comes to the weather. You would live in a sauna if given the opportunity.
I probably would.
It's disgusting. Anyway, I mean, if DeAndre Hopkins is trying to avoid training camp as much as possible, I wouldn't blame him. He's been in the league for a long time. He feels like he's earned the right to pick his destination without having to put in, you know, all of the work. I mean, that sounds terrible. It's not like the guy's lazy. But, you know, he's earned the right, I feel like. If he wants to wait until then, I feel like he can do that and because of who he is and what he's accomplished.
Well, the question is, like, if you're the Titans, do you have a problem with that? I mean, that's really what it boils down to.
I wouldn't. I mean, Mike Vrabel knows DeAndre Hopkins. He's seen DeAndre Hopkins at his best. He knows what he would bring to the team. Saw it firsthand in Houston. With the way that this Titans team is being built right now on offense, if I were the Titans, I would live with it if it means getting DeAndre Hopkins in my building.
Ron on the text line says the Titans wouldn't even be in this position if they just paid AJ, and now they're going to pay $15 million plus to a guy for a year or two. It's just bad decision making the past 3 years. But now you've got to pay D Hop because there's no one else out there. It makes no sense to go for it now. This from Ron on the text line. It's going to be look. I mean, we've gone over the AJ stuff ad nauseum. It's a bad trade. It's part of the reason why John Robinson's not here anymore. But to his point, now you're looking around at your receiving room, and it's Treylon Burks, who has not really proven anything yet, although I do have high hopes for him this year. Kyle Phillips, who hasn't proven anything yet. Chris Moore, who is decent. Nick Westbrook-Akina, who is decent.
God, you made it formal there. Nicholas.
And Nicholas, I did too. Nicholas.
I know, I thought I was getting called out there for a second.
Nicholas. Yeah, there are a lot of Nicholases around here now. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's a glaring need there. And that's why I'd probably be willing to pay a little bit more for it. I mean, I'm looking around, Adam, at the Super Bowl contenders, and we'll get a little bit more into this here in just a few minutes. But like in the AFC, obviously, Kansas City's a Super Bowl threat. Cincinnati's a Super Bowl threat. I would put Buffalo in that category. I would probably put the Jets in that category just because they've got Rodgers. I like some of the offensive pieces that they have, and they have a great defense. So I'd probably put the Jets in there. I mean, on the AFC North side of things, like is Baltimore a Super Bowl contender?
Eh, they're kind of
on the fringe, maybe?
They're kind of meh to me. You know, I think the top tier in the AFC is obviously Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo.
I would agree.
And then I would say the second tier is probably the Chargers. I guess the Jets. I'm wondering.
I don't know if I'm willing to go there with the Chargers yet.
I'm wondering. Well, would you have? Okay, rank these three teams in order.
Okay.
In terms of their viability as a Super Bowl contender in the AFC, the New York Jets, the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Denver Broncos.
Well, I'd probably go Jets 1, Chargers 2, Broncos 3. Like I'm more of the opinion that Russell Wilson is deteriorating more so than I am that it was all Nathaniel Hackett's fault.
We also didn't mention the Dolphins. I guess you could throw the Dolphins.
The Dolphins are good. I mean, the thing with them is it's just there's so much uncertainty with Tua and whether or not he's going to be able to get through the season. If he's there and he's healthy, I think they're going to be right there in the division in the AFC East. And I think they could be a Super Bowl contender because I love what they've done on the defensive side of the ball this offseason. And you still got Waddle and Hill, and if Tua is healthy, then that offense is going to be good. So I think they've got a chance. It's just hard for me to trust Tua staying healthy based on what happened to him last year.
But
so we'll see.
You know who their new backup quarterback is?
Who is their new?
I believe it's Mike White.
I believe you're correct.
Formerly of the Jets.
I believe you are correct.
And he didn't look too bad.
That is true.
But then again, he was compared to Zach Wilson.
Well, there is that. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. And where I'm going with this is if they sign DeAndre Hopkins, and let's say they get through this, and DeAndre Hopkins is a member of the Tennessee Titans, how much do they close the gap on some of these other contenders in the AFC? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Columbus Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians. Been a wild series so far between the Sounds and the Clippers. Lots of runs. Yesterday, a fight breaking out on the field. Beautiful stuff. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Young the Giant at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on July 14th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Executive producer Nick Kieser eagerly awaiting caller number 3 to win a pair of tickets to see Young the Giant at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on July 14th. Nick, a big Young the Giant fan.
Clearly, yes. The only song I knew from theirs is when they had a song in one of the NHL games growing up. That's the only reason I know why they're even a band, honestly.
Go. So maybe he's not. Maybe he's not a big fan. I thought he was.
Way to sell the way to sell that contest.
615-737-1025.
People are going to really want to call in now.
Our phone number, thanks to executive producer Nick Kieser. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Cody on the text line says, I think the longer this goes, the more it favors the Titans. He knows Kelly's offense and Vrabel, and he won't need training camp. Talking about DeAndre Hopkins. He does know Tim Kelly's offense. Now, I'm sure there are some changes to the offense from the time that he was in Houston just because Derrick Henry's on the team. So it's probably not going to be exactly the same. But, I agree with the general assessment of DeAndre Hopkins probably doesn't need a whole lot of training camp at this point in his career. Like, he's got his route tree. He'll learn the playbook. I don't worry about any of that with DeAndre Hopkins. But I do wonder, you know, how the Titans view that and what that's going to end up looking like. Look, DeAndre Hopkins, he might not even care about the training camp thing. He may sign the week of and say, yep, I'm here and I'm ready to go through the full training camp process. And we know how Vrabel kind of approaches training camp. He's been, you know, a lot of times we'll see some of the main guys go through a stretch of a couple days where they're in there and then maybe a day or two where they're off, and they kind of handle training camp on a case-by-case basis with some of these players, which I think is probably the right move. So I don't think it's the world's biggest deal. One thing I do wonder, though, we talked, what is it worth to the Titans? Like, how much is a DeAndre Hopkins worth, and how high would you be willing to go with a number if you're the Titans? Well, part of answering that question to me, Adam, is taking a look around if you're Rand Carthon and Vrabel and having a pretty honest assessment of your roster and where you're at and trying to determine how close are you to being a competitor? How close are you to being a Super Bowl contender? I mean, you can make the argument that if you sign DeAndre Hopkins, then you have a good chance to win your division and host a playoff game. And if you're hosting a playoff game, you know, you have a chance to win that game, and all of a sudden you're in the divisional round, and maybe you are a Super Bowl contender at that point. I mean, you could talk yourself into that if you're the Titans or any other team that feels like they've got a chance to win their division. I also look around, and there's Kansas City and Cincinnati and Buffalo and the quarterback situations that they have, and not just the quarterback situations, in most of those cases, just the overall roster situations that are, I think, at this point in better shape than the Titans are. And you could make the argument that the Titans still have a long way to go when it comes to being an actual Super Bowl threat. So I do wonder how much DeAndre Hopkins, if he comes in and he joins this Titans receiving core, how much does he change the equation on what the Titans think they can be as they move ahead this year?
I think the issue in the AFC is if you're not the Chiefs, Bills, or Bengals, you're probably SOL. For those who know what that means, it involves a curse word. Blank out of luck. There you go.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Just wanted to make sure not everybody knows that. So I know this is not the best way of determining how great a team is, but I just pulled up the average points per game by NFL team last season. The Chiefs were number one at 29.2. The Bills were number two at 28.4. And the Bengals were number seven at 26.1. The Titans were 17.5. There were only four teams in the NFL last season who averaged fewer points per game than the Tennessee Titans. The Jets, the Colts, the Texans, and the Broncos. And I know, as I said, this is not, you know, this is a pretty basic way of looking at it. But even with DeAndre Hopkins, the Titans offense does not stand a chance when compared to the offenses of those three teams. And as you said, Robbie, we expect the Titans defense to be really good. But is it good enough to slow down those teams? Now, the Titans have had some pretty good luck. I don't know if luck is the right term, but they've had some good performances against Kansas City. But they have not been able to pull out those games. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did Malik Willis start against the Chiefs last year?
He did.
Okay, so they were going they were at a distinct disadvantage.
They almost won that game.
But they did almost win that
game. I know
it's
football and nobody cares about almost winning, but I'm just saying, they almost won.
Right. So the Titans match up well with the Chiefs. The problem is that outside of maybe one or two games, I mean, of the recent games against the Chiefs, I know they had one blowout win against the Chiefs at home a few years ago.
They beat them a couple times at home.
So they match up well against the Chiefs, but they were blown out against the Bills last season, early on in the season. You know, of course, they lost to the Bengals in the playoffs. I just think it's not just the Titans. I think if you're any of those teams outside of those top three, I think you're fighting an uphill battle. I just think until one of those teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Bengals, really falls off, I think those are the three teams that everybody's always going to talk about as which team is going to come out of the Super Bowl, you know, come out of the AFC and participate in the Super Bowl.
Well, right, because they've got the quarterback, right? I mean, that's what it is. It's Patrick Mahomes, who's on track right now to be one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. We all watch Joe Burrow play, and we know how good he is. Josh Allen, even though he turned the ball over a lot last year, which he's got to fix, we still know that he's really good. I mean, I don't think DeAndre Hopkins puts the Titans in that conversation. I guess my question is, like, how far away are they from that? I mean, we've seen it. You don't have to have the quarterback to beat those teams. I mean, they've beaten Buffalo with Josh Allen a couple of times. They've beaten Cincinnati before. They have beaten Kansas City a few times. Now, ever since Joe Burrow's come with Cincinnati and they've had those trio on the field together, it's been tough sledding for the Titans in that matchup. But they've at least been close in those games. So, you know, I'm not saying the Titans with DeAndre Hopkins are Super Bowl contenders. I don't think that they are. I do think, though, that as you look at their division and the path to get to the playoffs, I think DeAndre Hopkins helps that tremendously. And I think that's worth it if you're the Titans. I mean, you get the playoffs at that point, you see what happens. But I think closing the gap on Jacksonville is priority number one if you're the Titans. And I think DeAndre Hopkins would help them do that in a big way, especially if he is anywhere close to what he's been to this point in his career. Then I think that the Titans, you know, Treylon Burks takes that step forward. You have DeAndre Hopkins, you still have Derrick Henry, and you have the Titans defense. Then I think they're right there with Jacksonville in the division at that point if he signs. So that alone to me, Adam, like, that makes it worth it, I think, to take the risk if you're Carthon and Vrabel.
I agree. And we talked about this yesterday. You know, I don't quite understand all of the love for the Jaguars because of how last season unfolded. We talked about this, that what was the probability? If you would have told me after the game against Green Bay, which was the Titans' last win of the season, that they would go 0-7, the Jaguars would go 6-1, and then the Titans would lose out and miss the playoffs. I think a computer would have told you that the chances of that happening were under 5%. So it's not like the Jaguars just dummied the Titans and blew them away and won the division, you know, without much issue. The Titans were right there in that last game of the season. They almost won. And imagine what the conversation would be if the Titans had won that game and they were in the playoffs. I don't think all of the love for the Jaguars would be there that we've heard for the past several months. So I get the Jags love to an extent, but if the Titans were to add DeAndre Hopkins, you know, I all of this talk about how the Jags are, it just feels like all this talk about the Jags are going to run away with the division, and I just don't see it. I think it's going to be 1-2 Titans Jags in some form, and it'll be tight. But I'm not expecting the Jaguars to win 12 games and the Titans to win 5. It just feels like the gap is being exaggerated between these two teams.
Well, and now we're getting to the point now where, you know, we're less than a month away from training camp getting started. We're just a few weeks away, actually, from training camp getting started here in Nashville. And I don't anticipate Hopkins making a move really before then. I could be wrong, but there's just not a lot going on right now. There's not a lot of negotiating going on right now. And from people we've talked to, like Charles Robinson, I don't know that I would expect anything to move overly soon on the DeAndre Hopkins front. But I do think it makes a whole lot of sense for the Titans. And you look at it, I think the Titans could make a whole lot of sense for him, too. So we'll see what happens on that front. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Do we have a Vengan rant coming up next?
Yes.
We have a Vengan rant, Vengan's vitriol, coming up next. Jim Diamond will join the show at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Jim Wyatt coming up next hour at around 840, 842, somewhere in that neighborhood to talk Titans. So all that coming up here today on the show. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
No!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You're the one who told me I could do anything if I just put my mind to it.
Well, now that you're a little bit older, I can tell you that's a crock. No matter how good you are at something, there's always about a million people better than you.
Gotcha. Can't win, don't try.
It is that time of the day. Normally for the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant, but Adam Vengan is stepping in today with Vengan's vitriol here on the program. A nice Adam Vengan rant and a nice job by executive producer Nick Keezer throwing a little Simpsons reference in there. Well done.
All right. I'm going to keep this short and sweet because
okay.
We touched on it a little bit earlier this week. If you fire off fireworks after July 4th, you are a terrible person. Period.
Wow.
Period. This is my Seinfeld bit. I feel like the test of a person's character is whether or not they wave at you in traffic. If you let somebody in and they don't give you a wave, that person is a garbage person. I feel like you can tell everything. I feel like everything you need to know about someone's character. I call it the traffic test. If you allow someone to merge in traffic and they don't wave at you, you don't want
to
know that person. You don't want
to
know that person. So yesterday, my parents were in town, and my in-laws were too, but my in-laws left early yesterday, but my parents are leaving this morning. So yesterday, my wife, my son, and I, we spent a lot of time with my parents. It was really nice. We come home. It's probably like 6:30, 7 o'clock, getting Arlo ready for bed. And I hear fireworks going off in the distance. It was July 6th. July 4th is over. Do not fire off fireworks after July 4th. And now I am a grumpy old man because I have a son who's almost 2 years old and a dog. And you know how dogs feel about fireworks, even when you drug the dog like I did leading up to July 4th. But here's my take on fireworks. So for me, bear with me for a second. I'm all over the place here because I'm so angry. The Christmas season to me is Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving,
yep.
to January 1st. So
I agree.
For the week after actual Christmas Day, if you want to leave your lights up, your Christmas tree up, you want to still listen to Christmas music, that's fine. Until the calendar flips, that's acceptable. January 1st, it's got to stop. It's got to come down. I feel like it's the opposite with July 4th. If you want to fire off fireworks in the days leading into July 4th, the end of June, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, I can live with that. Cutoff is July 4th. If you are firing off fireworks after July 4th, you are a terrible person. And I don't care if you have high character otherwise. That's all I need to know about you, is you're firing off fireworks after July 4th. It's got to stop.
I mean, I disagree. I've left the door open to July 11th. We established that earlier this week.
Ridiculous. Well, ridiculous.
Okay, so how can you sit here and tell me that it's okay to play Christmas music a week after Christmas is over with, but fireworks have to end the specific day on July 4th?
Have you ever known Christmas music to explode?
I have not, although there are some bangers out there.
Well, la-dee frickin' da!
I told you that. You can do the post Christmas through New Year's Day extra space that comes after the holiday. For me, for July 4th, it becomes before the holiday. So if you want to fire off fireworks on July 1st, I can live with that. I can live with that. But if it's after July 4th is the cutoff.
But I'm telling you, man, like people who buy fireworks, a lot of times they run good deals on like July 4th, July 5th. You can go in there and get them marked down a little bit. You just going to hold on to those things for another year, or are you just going to let them fly by the time you get them? And you get them half off sometimes.
Well,
I'm just presenting the other
side. Next year.
I mean, I hear
buy
you.
Discounted fireworks and keep them in your garage until next July.
Adam wants you to hold on to the explosives.
Lincoln fertilizer.
It just drives me nuts. It's just annoying. And even when I didn't have a family, it was still kind of annoying. But especially when you have a kid and a dog, it makes life more difficult. So, I mean, those are the two things I need to know about you. If you want to get to know me, I have to ask you two questions.
Do you wave in traffic?
Do you wave in traffic?
And do you fire fireworks off after July 4th?
And if the answer to those questions are, no, I don't wave in traffic, and yes, I fire off fireworks after July 4th.
You have nothing to do with that person.
I have nothing left to say to you. Please leave me alone. That's all I need to know. It's just, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit overboard with the.
It's the Adam Vingan character test. I kind
of
like it.
Yeah, that just two.
I'd
questions.
Fail one of them
for
sure.
It's very simple, but I've known you long enough to know that I, even with your deficiencies as a person, when it comes to fireworks, I can still live with that. But like for
I do wave in traffic. I will say that
sometimes I wave. I go above and beyond to wave in traffic. So sometimes I'll either wave multiple times in case the person behind me
just in case you didn't see it
right. Or I'll hold the wave. Like, it won't just be like a hand up, hand right back down. I'll hold the wave for 3-4 seconds just in case the person didn't see it initially. Yeah. I think it's important. It's important for the other person to see the wave. If you merge in traffic, and there's a lot of terrible traffic around here,
there
if
is.
You don't wave in traffic, I'm doing you a favor.
That's right.
You need to get over. I'm doing you a favor.
That's correct.
There needs to be acknowledgement.
I agree.
The favor.
I mean, this is similar to my if I hold the door open for you, you better say thank you test that I throw out there. A lot of times people just, oh, it's like Robbie's a human doorstop over there. There's no acknowledgement necessary for me standing there holding the door open. Maybe that can be the 3-part character test that we now embark on. Tim on the text line says, I work in the fireworks industry. We work until 11 p.m. on the 4th. Our first day off since May is July 5th, and we celebrate then. After the 5th, I can get behind. This from Tim. On the text line, John says, I have a horse boarding business with 11 horses on property. And let me tell you, post July 4th fireworks roulette is stressful because they go crazy from explosions. This is from John.
Yeah.
On the text line. I could definitely see that.
Yeah. So John gets it. I can't imagine horses like.
Now, in fairness, they're going crazy on July 1st and July 2nd and July 3rd.
Right. But like
too.
I said, you can live with it leading up to the holiday. Like, it's annoying. When it's not July 4th, but I'm like, okay, we're leading up to it. It's the it's the summer. Like, fine. But it's just after the holiday, just get it out of your system. Just get it out of your system. If you've got a box full of fireworks that you need to just destroy by lighting them all up, that's fine. Do it on July 4th. Get it out of your system. Someone mentioned saving them until New Year's because people fire off fireworks on New Year's.
Yeah.
New Year's, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. But it's just the fireworks, you got.
So you're totally against my July 11th rule. I mean, just totally out the door.
Oh, my God. It's egregious that you would even think that you could wait until July 11th to keep fireworks.
I mean, I'm just saying, up there in Robertson County, where I live, it's July 7th. Last night was July 6th. That's good math there for you, Hendersonville High School math. People are still firing them off out there, baby. Still some fireworks going on last night. On July 6th, you would not have enjoyed it.
Joel says, throw in the caveat of not firing them off in a residential neighborhood after the 4th. If you go out to farmland with no houses around for several acres, it shouldn't bother families.
Oh, yeah. You're good.
Okay. That, yeah. But I'm talking about people who are living. To Joel's point, clarify. If you live in a highly populated area, like, then it's, you know, if you go out to the sticks and there's nobody around and you want to do it and it's not bothering anybody, then yeah, fine, sure. But most people don't.
So those
do
are not
that.
Terrible people.
Those are not terrible people.
I'm just saying, well, I will say, like, people were really upset with me the other day after I talked about the July 11th thing. They're saying, how about July, like, 8th? July 8th. I still say 11th, but July 8th I think could be an acceptable alternative. 3-4 days after July 4th is over, get it out of your system. Fire them off.
Oh, man. Let's see. I'm looking at – we're getting a lot of texts. Tim says, if you leave the cart in the middle of the parking lot, you are awful. That is my test. That's a good one, too.
That's
if you're
a
at a grocery store and you leave the cart in the parking spot, yeah, that's bad. Good point, Tim. Yeah, I mean,
I see people do that a lot. I mean, that happens more frequently than you think of, especially this time of year, I guess because it's hot. Like people are walking around and say, you know what? That, you know, 33 steps that I'll have to take this this cart over to the dispensary over there, it's too much. I can't do it. They just leave it right in the parking lot.
Matt Q.
Right in a parking spot.
Matt Q says to me, get a real dog. Oh, I'm sorry. Do Great Danes not get afraid of fireworks?
I've seen dogs of all sizes not be huge fans.
I don't have like a little yappy dog. I have a terrier who's 25 pounds. I mean, he's not a big dog. He weighs about 25, 30 pounds, but he's not like a chihuahua.
See, I've got like a chihuahua. She's real small. She hates fireworks.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've also seen a German Shepherd that just absolutely can't stand fireworks either. I don't think it's a size thing with
the
dog.
Yeah, look, I'm a 34-year-old grumpy old man, okay? Fireworks have got to stop after July 4th, you know.
This has been the inaugural Adam Vingan rant, Vingan's vitriol here on Robbie and Rex. Lots of response on the text line. Good job, Adam. Well done. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jim Diamond from the Associated Press. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators, the moves that they've made to this point. Looking forward to that. We'll have Jim Wyatt coming up next hour as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.